Are you searching for a deeper understanding of yourself and your place in the world? Do you yearn for more balance, more peace, and purpose in your life? Well, look no further than the Intuitive Revolution Podcast, your trusted source for holistic insights and intuitive guidance. I'm your host, Alicia Ferricelli, and I am ready to take you on a journey to inner peace and balanced well-being. Mariah Kimball will help you connect your mind, body, soul to the love that fuels your earthly experience and allows you to reach your fullest potential and truest love. They're one and the same. Mariah's ability to envelop you in a limitless love and gently open your heart to find satisfying success will allow you to manifest your heart's desires, grace, and ease. Every woman with the deepest, driest wells will find themselves swimming in love and opportunity, laughing, dancing, and thriving in their lives where once they thought impossible. Mariah's background includes a master's in the art of teaching, certifications in nutritional therapy, and other healing modalities such as Reiki and restorative yoga. Her intuitive connection to the divine liquid love and her interpretation of ancient wisdom through the earth's crystal memories make her work incredibly potent. Thanks so much, Mariah, for coming out to the Intuitive Revolution Podcast. Super excited to learn about your journey. You've got some really cool stuff with your background and what you've gone into future-wise. So yeah, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, of course. And like, I am so excited. Future Revolution, Intuitive Revolution, like it is such a revolutionary act to lean into your intuition, to be a fucking rebel and go against the grain and listen to your intuition. And this is totally my jam. Like,
love it.
All things just a little bit, not quite mainstream. That's my jam.
Yep. I feel you right there. So I think we're going to have an amazing conversation just based off that. So, yeah.
So psyched.
So your journey from traditional upbringing to embracing your intuition and divine connection is incredibly, incredibly inspiring. Can you share more about the moment you realized the importance of trusting your intuition, especially as it relates to your spirituality and personal growth?
Yeah. So for me, intuition is like 100% trusting yourself, like hands down, without question. I trust every cell in my body, right? And sometimes this is really hard to do. So for me, one of the key moments, like moments, was actually not my realization, but a friend's realization. And there was this person in my life and things were just, I can't explain it, right? He never was just like, he always sent my spidey senses off, if you will. This was probably 20 years ago, like way early in my career, not before my career even began, right? I'm a teenager. And I said this to somebody and I was like, you know, he does all the right things. He says all the right things. You know, he goes to church. He does the things. He volunteers, like everything, right? Great guy. So wonderful to his girlfriend, like truly wonderful. And I'm like, there's just this piece of me that's like, just don't trust him. Yeah. Right. Never thought anything of it. I go about my lives and this person's in my life. And, you know, I just like, there's always just like this little voice that was just like, right. Well, this person, you know, did something that was really wildly inappropriate. He abused his power. He ended up putting cameras in a place that they should not have been in, right? And so, and I didn't think anything of it. And this person, my friend, was like, you called it, Mariah, years ago. Do you remember that conversation we had when you were like, I just don't know, right? And I was like, that was that moment where I was like, that's what that is. That's like, I know, right? And so what that does is that moment of me meeting this person, there was this moment where I met this person who set off my spidey senses that I was like, like that. There was this moment.
Yeah.
And so now whenever I'm questioning my intuition, I think of that moment, that hit, that like, I felt it, right? And that's my belief bank. That was the beginning of my belief bank of like, no, you know, right? Yeah. And I had this other moment several years later, many years later, when my daughter was born. And I'm standing in the kitchen and all of a sudden I get like this hit of like, she's up. And it almost was like a voice that was like, she's up. And I'm like, no, I didn't hear anything. She didn't make a sound. Right. And I'm like, but I knew she was up. And sure enough, not like 1 minute later, she starts crying. And I'm like, oh, that was freaky.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, all right, cool. Same exact feeling as many years prior when I get this hit. And I'm like, oh, so now that I've got, you know, two really solid belief banks in my body, now I just kind of like, it's become a lot easier. So even when I don't get that boom, that wild hit, I can assess like, oh yeah, that's my intuition. That's not my mind running games. That's my knowing. That's me. That's the power of Mariah and her intuition. So that's kind of like where I started. And then it just becomes like this conscious practice of using your intuition, right? And getting used to it and exercising that muscle. Yeah. So it doesn't take like these, like, you know, getting hit by a train to be like, that's my intuition.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about bases of intuition and fear.
Ooh, yeah.
So how do you personally distinguish between those two? Well, you know, it's like fear-based. Is this fear-based or is this intuitive-based? Or is this judgment-based on a person versus is this my intuition coming through?
Yeah. So the word judgment is like really amazing because fear, I've never associated fear with my intuition. Ever like that. Right. Those two things really have never, they're not similar. They don't feel the same in my body. Right. And I've never gotten an intuitive hit, in the way that, that would elicit fear, right? Because the divine doesn't elicit fear in us. Right. That's our mind. But judgment, this is magical because how do you tell the difference between I'm judging this person and no, this is just an intuitive thing, right? Yeah. And it takes practice and it takes letting go of judging yourself. And it really takes trust. Like the more you trust yourself and your knowing, the less you're going to judge. And so there's definitely like this balancing act of that I've been like really dancing with lately of like, no, I know this is truth, but am I judging them? Like, is this my mind, you know, applying judgment to them? And it's really funny because I've had to practice this a lot in jujitsu. It's really wild how the practical world gives us so much opportunity to practice our magic. And so when we put ourselves in situations that are uncomfortable and that are unknown, it's perfect place to practice. Is this judgment or is this intuition, right? Am I applying something to this? So I'm going to just give you an example of like getting on the mat in jujitsu, right? I am the minority as a woman. I'm a very petite woman. You know, like 115 pounds and I step onto this jujitsu mat and there are like massive dudes on this mat. Yeah. Right. And we come in all shapes and sizes. Right. And so there's men who are like 300 pounds and there's like little teenagers who are like 95 pounds and they're at everything in between. Right. And so when I step onto the mat, it's so important that my intuition is that I trust it without question because my safety is literally at risk, right? These men, I trust them. They would never hurt me on purpose. However, the act of jujitsu, the practice is literally to submission, right? Like getting me in such a position that I literally have to tap out and be like, whoa, what the fuck? Like, I'm done, I'm out, right? And so trusting my intuition to keep myself safe, there's no question, like I have to, right? And so there are men in my studio who look big and scary. Oh my God. They've got all the tattoos. They're huge. They're muscly. They're like neck tattoos, hand tattoos. Like they should be scary. Right. Yeah. But you lean into their energy and you lean into your intuition and like you talk to your pussy, right? Cause that's part of your intuition, like all that feminine power. And I'll tell you, the scariest looking dude, he's a teddy bear. His energy is like the equivalent of a teddy bear. And so my judgment on him, like if I were to judge him by his looks, right? And say, he's too scary, he's too big, I would never learn from him. I would never be put in these uncomfortable situations that are massively awesome for my growth, right? That make me laugh, that are ridiculously silly, that just like, he happens to be one of the most phenomenal teachers in our studio. I go to his classes and I learn so much, right? But there's this discernment, right? Where you take your intuition and what you know in your mind and you put them together and then you make a decision. If I was just to judge based in my mind, forget about it, right? I will say on the flip side, there's this other person in my gym who, you know, looks like the boy next door. Let's just say that, right? Clean cut, no tattoos, you know, small, like, just like, I don't know, no danger. Yeah. But my intuition says, hell no, absolutely not. And I've been at this gym for 2 years and I still have not rolled with this person in particular because I don't feel safe.
Yeah.
And that is in my body, like something just, and every time I go and I think I'm judging him, I go, does this feeling match that feeling from 15 years ago when that guy made me uncomfortable? And that proved to be right. And I check in, does this feel the same? Yeah, it feels the same. Okay, I'm going to pass on rolling with this person. I'm not going to put myself in this situation. And so that's kind of where I go with that, right? And it is discernment. It is taking that intuition and your mind and you putting them together, right? It's like, and each situation's different.
Yeah. And I think it makes it so much easier when you're able to read energies off of people. Like it's the feeling. It's not the visual, like taking off. If they visually look like a box.
Yeah.
Or they visually were this, like they were a box and they had the same energy. How would I feel about that?
And it's so important. Like I'm a feeler. I feel before I know, before I see, before I have words, I feel in my body. And so it's really important that every person finds what their clair is and how their intuition comes in, because it comes in for everyone differently. So while I'm talking about feeling in my body, you might have a crazy voice that comes in and you're like, ooh, but it will be different from that inner bitch who's judgmental and awful, right? Yeah. It'll be different. So it's identifying how it comes in for you in particular, because nobody is the same, right? You might just know, you might hear it, you might feel it. This is where your magic comes in, and it's your intuition and why nobody can tell you how to use your intuition. Only you can do that.
That's a good point. It's almost individualized for each person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer because I can't be like, hey, this is exactly how you access your intuition. No, I can give you the tools. And I can say that, you know, the process that I run my clients through is essentially like, you have to get to know yourself. Like when you know yourself, then you can take care of yourself and then you can love yourself. And when you love yourself, whoop, that intuition, it's on fire. There's nothing that can stop you.
That's the key. Yeah. Self-love.
Yep. Oh yeah. But you can't just automatically love yourself, right? You have to know yourself, right? Because if I didn't recognize that I'm a feeler, every time I felt something that wasn't appropriate or fit into the box, you know, I would think I was wrong. I would think there's something wrong with me. And that just diminishes your light and your power.
Imagine a place where the whispers of the forest invite you to rediscover the joy and wonder of your inner child. Welcome to the Asheville Inner Child Retreat, a sanctuary nestled in the heart of nature, designed for women just like you who are on a journey to heal, to connect, and to grow. Join us from October 17th to 20th for an experience like no other. Under the glow of the full moon, we will circle together for meditations that heal the soul. We're going to engage in yoga and breath work that free the spirit and embark in forest baths and hikes that rejuvenate the body. Hosted by myself, Alicia Ferricelli, this retreat is more than just an escape. It's an opportunity to meet and bond with like-minded women, creating a community of support and understanding. Together, we'll explore downtown Asheville, indulge in spa excursions, and nurture our inner child, creating memories that last a lifetime. Spaces are limited to ensure an intimate, transformative experience. So visit our website at www.elevateoasisretreats.com to secure your spot and embark on a journey of self-discovery and inner peace. The Asheville Inner Child Retreat, where your healing journey awaits. Join us and let the healing begin. So, the concept of sexy, not sorry, is powerful and provocative. Can you elaborate on what this means to you and how women can start embracing pleasure as a sacred aspect of their divine selves?
Yeah. So let's think about our intuition, right? And so as you're building your intuition, as you're learning who you are, as you're tapping in to Goddess, God, Universe, Source, whatever that is, right? You become more of yourself, right? You can show up like yourself. You can be loud like yourself or quiet. You can use your voice, right? And you become radiant. There becomes something inside of you that people just look at you and they're like, oh God, what is it? I don't know, but I like being around her. She's beautiful. She's just got it, right? And we all have these people who we're just like, I don't know what it is, but they've got it, right? And it doesn't matter what they're wearing, right? This idea of sexy, not sorry, is not about getting in lingerie and dancing around, although I love that. Yeah. That's not sexy to everybody, right? Sexy is about being radiant, about being magnetic, about your vibration being so powerful that it changes the vibration of the room, right? And that is only comes from a place of pure love, right? And we think about sexy, not sorry, I'm not sorry I'm taking up space. I am unapologetic about that, right? Yeah. You know, it's funny. My friend was like, I have an event tonight. And it's an event that pushes me to the edge, something I'm not used to, right? And the outfit I have, you know, is this cute, fun sweater, black leather shorts and thigh high boots, right? And I called my friend up and I'm like, I don't, this is really what I want to wear. This is this is me. Yeah. And she's like, I know, just wear it. Who cares? Just Mariah, it's you. You either do workout gear or your kinky thigh high boots. There is no in between. If these people are your people, they're not going to care. And I'm like, yeah, right. Right? Like that, but that's Mariah. That's me, right? I'm either working out and laying in bed, or I'm got a little, you know, it's a little sexy, a little funky, a little just edgy, right? And so that's me, right? But using our intuition is how we get there, you know, trusting us, trust, you know, we really could switch the word intuition for trust. If you trust yourself, then you become sexy, you become radiant. And so you can't separate the two, right? And so, but this also leads us to pleasure, right? When you trust yourself so much, the world becomes so much better. It truly does. When you think about the people who are miserable, and you think about those really stereotypic, typical Karens, they're just awful, right? Awful. They're underfucked. They have no pleasure in their life. And they're just, you know, they're not themselves. They don't know who they are. So they're going to attack everyone else because they don't trust themselves, right? Yeah. So really leaning into who you are, how do you find pleasure? How do you find joy, right? That's going to lead you to love, which is God, Source, Divine, whatever word you want to use, right? And so I'll tell you, the closest I feel to God is when I'm orgasming. Oh my God, but to get there,
literally,
oh, absolutely, right? To get there, oh my God, you have to pull yourself through the bowels of hell because you have to learn to trust yourself, right? You have to decondition yourself from all the things from childhood and work and all the things. You know, if you think about how we're raised, or at least my generation, right? You don't get up from the table till you eat your food. Well, I'm full. Eat your food. We're taught not to listen to our body, from the time you're 4 years old. So it's this massive deconditioning to be no, actually, my body is sacred and I'm going to listen to it. And it's divine and it's literally built for pleasure. Right? But we get there through using our intuition, through trusting it, you know, and there's nothing dirty about pleasure, about self-pleasure, about sex, right? The female body The clitoris is literally designed for pleasure. That's all it does, you know?
Yeah.
Leaning into this is so important, right? You know, we are portals for life. Like, the only way to live as a human on earth is through a woman's pussy. So, like, these are magical, magical things that we need to learn to love, right? And so we're kind of mixing a lot of ideas here. I realize that I'm like fire hosing you with information, but being a woman is magical. In of itself, it is pleasure. And we've shut that part of us down. And we can begin to find the glimmers of it through really simple steps of following our intuition, right? And, you know, I teach my clients, like, you start with getting dressed in the morning. Do I want to wear purple today or blue today? I don't know. Like, let's lean in and ask. And then when you build up those belief banks, when you get to these bigger questions, like, do I marry him or not? Do I take the job or not? Do I have children or not? You're so in alignment that you just know, and it's no longer a question, right? And that is the definition of sexy to me.
Yeah. It's that you're just tapping into your feminine.
Yeah.
Portions of yourself.
Yeah.
And it gets back to kind of what you said, like, back to you, like, at the table, it's like, we're told so much. On the total opposite is, you don't eat too much.
Yeah.
Starve yourself, you know, to make yourself look good, instead of, like, just embracing that we're still feminine in all body, in entire body. It's an energy. It's a feeling. It's not a physical.
Yeah. Oh, 100 million percent. And you know, it, and the reason women are so tightly controlled, or we're tried to be controlled by this, like, eat all, don't eat it. Like, all these messages we get that are really, really confusing. Like, be skinny, but not too skinny. Be strong, but not too strong. Right.
Right.
It's because we are so powerful. You know, like, it's fact. Like, we are unbelievably powerful, and that's intimidating. That's scary. Right. Especially to unhealed masculine.
Yeah.
And we are unstoppable. And so there is this really intense tension that comes with that. However, when you begin to become yourself and you lean into this, like, it no longer matters. You know, you still, obviously, we're human, right? And there will be those questions and those moments, but overall those moments get smaller and they get shorter, where you're like, ooh, I'm too fat, or ooh, I'm too much, right? We all will have those because we're human, and that's part of the human experience. I don't care how much you trust your intuition, we're all going to have those moments. However, those moments, they get, and they're quicker to transmute. Our triggers, you know, we can look at them as really, you begin to shift from, like, this is a trigger and I'm going to rage and I'm going to, oh, this is the worst thing in the world, to, like, ooh, this is initiating healing. This is amazing. You know, and you can look at it through a different lens, which gives you back your power and allows you to stay in your feminine, which is pretty amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your background in education, Reiki, yoga, and nutritional therapy. How do you integrate these diverse modalities to foster a holistic approach to well-being and pleasure in your own life and in your coaching?
Well, this is the magic, right? Because when we think about us as humans, there's no one side of us that is unattached to the rest, right? So our physical body manifests our spiritual and emotional body, right? And so you think about, a lot of times, like, for example, a big one is cancer. Well, regret often manifests in the body as cancer, right? So all these pieces of our body that we need to learn to take care of, or our spiritual being that we need to, like, take care of, or our emotional body that we need to take care of, they're all intertwined. And so when you begin to impact one, you begin to shift all the others. And so if you can kind of come at it from this perspective of, I'm going to softly tread through this one thing, and it's going to support me in all these other ways. Okay, this is really cool, right? And so this becomes this piece of, like, what is your taste for change, right? What is your tolerance for risk? What is your tolerance for shifting your world, right? And so we're looking at clients who really just want to love themselves. And I know we've got this big elephant in the closet that they're doing this and they're not ready to look at it. Okay. Well, let's support you in this way. hey, let's start drinking a little bit of water, start eating whole foods. Let's start loving our bodies in this way. Right. And one of the most basic examples I give of walking through this path of, in order to love yourself, you have to know yourself so you can take care of yourself, so you can love yourself. Right. When I was in my early 20s, I had like debilitating migraines. Oh my God. Like out of control. And so I begin to like ask, like, what is the cause of these migraines? I need to get to know myself in my body, right? Because this is unacceptable for me to be down for the count for an entire day with a migraine. So when I did enough, asking enough questions and noticing enough and really digging into what was happening, I'm sensitive to gluten.
Same here.
You take gluten out of my diet and my migraines like almost instantly disappear.
Yeah.
Old, right? Had I not known that though, I would still be stuck in that spiral of, you know, migraines. So now I know, now I can take care of myself. Oh, I need to be gluten-free. That's easy. It's not easy, but it's easy, yeah. Right? Because the risk, you know, the reward for not eating it is massive, right? And then I can love myself. When I begin to choose that over and over and over again, and it just becomes my lifestyle, then it's love, right? And then I can make the decision like, hey, that's not gluten-free. Is it worth it, right? And so for me, love comes from that place of making an educated choice over and over and over again. So like for me, cake is never fucking worth it, ever. You combine gluten and sugar in my body, forget about it. Forget about it. No. But go to Italy and have a roll, that's fine. Go to this other divine restaurant and have like a bite or two of something that you just looks delicious, like homemade bread.
Yeah.
That doesn't quite affect me the same way. So I might choose to have a bite of that instead, right? Knowing that it's, you know, ticks all the boxes. That might be worth it to me. Yeah. The cake, it's never going to be worth it. So knowing that difference is loving myself. And that's kind of how like these physical and spiritual things come to be, because when I'm clear, when my body is feeling good and is in high vibration, my intuition is easier to read. Mm-hmm. When it's cloudy, when I have brain fog, when I'm not addressing my emotions.
Yeah.
And then my intuition, I can't read it. It's like stuck underwater, you know, and I've got foggy goggles and my air tank's empty. Like you're never going to find it. So really paying attention to honoring your emotions, honoring your body, really having a connection to the divine. How do you connect to the divine, right? For me, connecting to the divine happens through nature, happens through crystals, happens through my relationship with my husband. Like these are how I find the divine. That's me. Yeah. You might find them through something totally different, and that's okay.
Yeah. Loving your body. It's when you start decide to make choices that are better for your body as opposed to your mind.
Yeah. You know, and really listening to that, like right now I'm eating hardly any vegetables because like my body doesn't like them. So as much as somebody, you know, they get on there and like, eat your vegetables, carbs are bad. It's bad. Like, yeah. No, actually meat makes my body feel really good. Carbs make my body feel really good. Anything green and veggie right now is not for my body right now. That's just the season of life that I'm in. You know? And so paying attention to this, and when people go through my program, Sexy Not Sorry, like one of the first things we do is you address the physical world you live in. That includes the shit in your house, the stuff in your body, what you put on your body. Like that very physical 3D world is how you shift and grow your intuition. Like that's the foundation of it, because you have to make space. If there's not space for stuff to come in, there's not this expansive possibility. Where's your intuition going to come in? How are you going to hear the whispers? Because it is a whisper. Your intuition does not give you a neon flashing sign above like, hey, look over here, look over here. Look over here. It just doesn't happen that way. It's a whisper. Yeah. It's like a, right? And if you're like got your boombox blaring and the room is covered in stuff that stresses you out and you're distracted, you're never going to know where to like listen and be like, oh, that far right corner, that's where I need to pay attention to my intuition, right?
Yeah, it's the sitting in the stillness and the quietness and listening. And that's the biggest thing, is like listening, instead of, we always want to be like, our mind's going, 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 but we could still our mind down a little bit just to listen.
Yeah. And a lot of people will panic when you say that, like, oh my God, I can't still my mind. There are ways, right? And everybody does it differently. And that's okay. That's the whole point. So something that works for me, you know, like sitting quietly in meditation, it doesn't really work for me. Like, I don't get my intuitive hits that way anymore. Like I used to, right? When I was practicing like in a very masculine way, and when I was in my masculine energy, I could sit and I could journal and I could get intuitive hits that way. They don't come in that way anymore. They could if I did that, but now I've learned that I can also get them when I'm listening to music and when I'm dancing and when I'm moving my body and when I'm in nature and when I just let go, you know. So
I'm in the also shower.
In the shower, yeah. Oftentimes it's when you're a little bit busy and you're doing something that your intuition could come in, like driving, for example, is a really great way to access your intuition, you know, especially like some songwriters can't write songs. And I believe songwriting is like a direct channel to the divine. Like, yeah, hands down,
absolutely.
Like it is what it is. Like there it is. So oftentimes they can't write songs unless, you know, the TV's on or they're driving or there's something else. You know, one of the very famous psychics who was on TV, I don't know his name, right? He has to draw while his messages come in. Yeah. So it's often like you have to give that monkey mind something to do so that you can access this information. And that isn't uncommon. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? We need to learn tools. And maybe someday you'll get to the point where you don't need to use those tools, right? And you can just know, right? Like, for example, I always teach my clients the body pendulum. It's one of the first things I teach them when they're leaning into their intuition. Like, let's physically use our body as a pendulum for the yes or the no. And eventually you won't need to stand up and do this. You can just feel it in your body, but we have to start somewhere. And often what we know in the physical 3D is most productive.
Yeah. So let's talk about parenting. The parenting is a journey filled with challenges and joys, of course. How do you incorporate spirituality and the pursuit of pleasure into your parenting approach? And what impact has this had on your relationship with your children?
Yeah. So when we think about pleasure and being connected to the vine, this is everything. For me, it has everything to do with my children, because it wasn't until my second was born that shifted my entire world, right? Because up until my second was born, I was doing everything the way I thought I should, that society told me I should, that the women who I grew up with told me I should, right? Like, you need to have white t-shirts and blue skirts and black, everybody wardrobe needs to look like this. Like, it's just how it is, right? You need to have a house and a baby and a job, like really very like narrow, you know. My second was born and it nearly killed me, right? So I was so lost and so unhappy, right? I used to be a teacher. I'd come home every day crying. Like, it was just this uber toxic, terrible situation that I had co-created, because we are the creators of our life. I hate to break it to you, but the situation you're in that you hate so much, there's a part of you that fucking loves it and revels in it, you kinky bitch, like truly, because we don't get what we ask for. We get what we want on the inside, right? That our being and our soul asks for, these lessons, right? So I had put myself in a situation where I wasn't listening to my body, where I wasn't doing what I wanted to do or dressing the way I wanted to dress or doing the things I wanted to do. And it nearly broke me. And so my second daughter was born and she just has like zero tolerance for bullshit. She does. Even as an infant, you know, back in the day when she was born, I wouldn't have recognized this because I wasn't in tune with my intuition or energy in the way that I am now. But she like broke me, into the point where like my husband had to take a week off of work. I definitely had undiagnosed postpartum depression. I couldn't take care of my children and all the things. And so I kind of like threw in the the towel and I was like, I need help. Like, we need to get me help. And what the woman who I turned to was actually an energy healer who practiced tapping. And so through this process, I began, because I was showing up for my children in a way that I wasn't happy with, right? I didn't want to be around my children. I didn't have the energy to deal with them. It was overwhelming. Like, and I couldn't parent in the way I wanted to because I was so triggered that everything was explosive, you know? And so the reason I went down this journey was because I wanted my children to grow up differently than I was raised, right? I wanted to show up for my kids in a way that wasn't matching how I was showing up for them, because I didn't have the skills. I didn't have the tools. And so really leaning into spirituality and the divine and all things magical is really like what saved me and really allows me to show up for my kids. And it took me a really long time to share my magic with my husband and with my children, because that was a really sacred part and a really vulnerable part of me, right? Yeah. Because to admit that you want to buy crystals and you want to pull cards and you don't want to go to that place because your intuition is telling you no, well, that's just scary because you're fucking crazy, Mariah, and we're not going to do that. We're not going to spend money on rocks. Like, right, that could be the reaction. So it's really vulnerable. Granted, my husband has said yes to everything, and he very quickly saw the benefits from all the magic that I was doing. He's like, yeah, whatever you want. Yeah, totally. Buy it.
You're happy. Go do it. Yeah.
He's like, every time you do shit like this, Mariah, our lives get exponentially better. Like, I'm down for it. Like, let's do it, right?
That's amazing.
Yeah, but all of this started because I wanted to show up for my kids differently, you know, and the magic of intuition and connecting to the divine comes when you clear out the shit, the limiting beliefs, the trauma, when you look at the darkness and the pieces of you that you don't like, that's yep. when the magic comes out, right? So yeah. For example, like just even the way I dress, like the way I like to dress is a little bit edgy, you know, it's a little bit not like everybody else. But I used to think I had to be very buttoned up J. Crew, just perfect, right? But that was killing me. But God forbid I had the vulnerability to trust myself, to be myself, to show up in the ways that I wanted to, right? And so now I don't want to teach my kids shit. I want to show them. I want to show them what living life is really all about. So I had a video that like it really sparked like a reel on Instagram, like got everybody all fired up, because I posted that it was like, I wear booty shorts. I don't drink coffee. I have more activities than my children. I love reading smut. Like all these things that are really not acceptable for a mom to do. Like, that's me. And people were like, oh my God. But my girls are so happy and they're so well adjusted and they're so content, right? And they're fiery and they're themselves and they could not be more different and they're loud and they drive me crazy, right? But they're truly themselves. And this is magical, right? But I'm showing them life. I can't show them life if I'm doing 900 million things for them, by driving them to swim and gymnastics and all the things. And I don't have any space for myself. There's no pleasure for me. But that's not showing them how to live at all. Especially when they're at the age when they don't know what they want.
Good point. Yeah. There's so much mom shame and mom guilt going on. And it's really sad. It's, you know, the fact you posted that video is amazing. And the way that your children are able to express themselves,
yeah,
is such a huge difference in the way they're going to turn out as adults in a positive way.
Yeah. And it's like this learning, it's learning and it's recognizing that everyone is doing the best they can. Yeah. Like the divine is in everyone, even those people who are absolutely 100% evil, if you will, or yeah. You know, and there really is no good and evil. There's just opposing viewpoints, right? But there, everyone takes action because they think this is going to lead them closer to love, even if it's not our own opinion of that, right? Yeah. But nobody sets out and is like, oh, I'm gonna destroy the world today. No, they do things out of fear because they're worried and they're scared and they're trying to protect themselves, right? Because they're missing something. They're trying to fill that place that they're missing. So if we allow us to be whole from the beginning and we allow ourselves the space and the grace to find our wholeness, then things become a little less yucky, if you will, right? And that's not a, I know that is not what people like to hear or want to hear, but anyone interested in that, I highly recommend you dive into Carolyn Elliott's work. She used to be Carolyn Elliott. She's Carolyn Lovewell now. And she wrote the book Existential Kink, and she really shows us. She has a beautiful perspective that really shows us that we all are divine. We all are like trying to get closer to God in whatever capacity that means for you. Yeah. Even when these really awful things happen, like that's okay. Like there's healing that can happen. There's like truth in that. She's eloquently puts it way better than I do, but it, especially in the time we're at now where things are really awful and really horrific, awful things are happening to children and women all over the world, right? It allows, for me at least, it's like, I have a soul and I have a mission and I have connection to divine, and my journey in this lifetime is different than somebody else's. And I cannot judge their journey, but I can hold space for it and recognize that this journey is their own. And we both can have a very different experience here on earth, and there is space for both of them. And I think that's really important in raising my children. Like, I don't care what other people do. Yes, I do, but it doesn't impact me, right? In the ways that I'm going to allow them to diminish my light, to lead me further from love or away from pleasure, because I can find pleasure in walking the beach and listening to music, to playing with my puppy in these ways, you know, that a lot of people don't have access to because I've stepped back and taken a breath and trusted myself. And I think that's really important. And that allows me to almost, the word disassociate isn't right, but it allows me perspective to not get swallowed up in the guilt and the negativity and the absolute horrors that happen on earth. Yeah. Because duality exists, and that's okay, right? That's part of the human experience and thinking about, you know, just being human. And that starts at childhood. If we allow space for kiddos to be themselves, then we're going to raise world changers who are going to shift the collective in these really massively powerful ways. And that's really important to me. So that, you know, in essence of me leaning into that sexy, not sorry space where I'm big and I'm radiant and I am living life to the fullest, right? That's when I'm going to have the most impact. The more money I make, the more impact I have, right? Love, money, and creativity all have the same vibration. And so the more love I have, the more money I'm going to have, the more creative I'm going to be, the bigger impact I can have to spend and recirculate in the things that are meaningful to me. And that's what's going to enact change. Right? Yeah. And that's so, so important. But I can't do that if I'm worried about X, Y, and Z and who's fucking who. Like, I can't, right? Yeah. Here in my body, in my lane, what is important, right? And that's so, that showing my children how to live starts with that. Knowing me, knowing my mission, trusting that.
Yeah. 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 All I can say is yes. For the clap.
Okay.
All of that. So speaking of, pleasure and spirituality are often seen as separate or even conflicting areas. How do you navigate this intersection, and what advice do you give to others looking to explore this in their own lives? And this can come with a lot of spiritual trauma people are facing too.
Man, it's brutal, especially when we come from this, typically your, you know, religion, right? And a lot of people who come from church and things like that, right? Like I have a background, like I went to Catholic school and you'd be horrified. Some of the, you know, stories I could tell you about sex ed, like, oh my God, they're brutal. But at the end of the day, when you lean into spirituality, it's so individual, right? And it's so beautiful. And all the things can be true. Some people can truly reach God in a church. Absolutely. I cannot. That's right. Just not me, right? And so finding this place where you follow the breadcrumbs and you trust yourself enough to follow the breadcrumbs that lead you where you are, right? And we all kind of go through these different layers. And as you shed the layers or you go deeper inside, right, into yourself, like all that there is love and pleasure. Like that's it. That's all there is. And, you know, there's this beautiful connection where when when I connect to the divine, whether it's through meditation or dance or orgasm, you know, by myself or with my husband, right? There's another piece of me like gets plugged in, you know, another piece of me I didn't know was missing gets plugged in. And this just helps me show up as more, you know, when we think about pleasure and spirituality, I don't think you can separate them at all. Right. Yeah. Because when you're leaning into this moment of deep connection and love, right? And you're looking for God or the universe, like, what do you feel in your body?
Yeah.
I feel pleasure. I feel content. I feel whole. And I think that that can be found in many, many different ways. And I think there's this really cool, like, for whatever reason, this idea of abundance is coming up. And so when you allow yourself to expand your definition of spirituality and expand the definition of pleasure, right? Like you allow smelling flowers to be pleasurable. You allow, you know, somebody eating you out to be pleasurable, right? Your world opens up when you can see that, like, ooh, wearing a velvet sweater, that's pleasurable. That feels really good. Hearing music, that's really pleasurable. You can pull this into your body and you can circulate it as energy that is fuels you, that allows you to be a little bit brighter, to sit up a little bit taller, to just be a little bit more magical, right? And for me, like, spirituality is nature. It just is. Mother Earth is spirituality. The stars are spirituality. The crystals are spirituality. Like, it all is. And when you look at Mother Nature, like, you can't count all the wonders she has, right? Like, you can't count the blades of grass in a field. You can't count the leaves on a tree. You can't count the drops of water in the ocean or the grains of sand on the beach. And it's like, you can't count the amount of ways you can find pleasure. You just can't. And all of these things, when we let go of like this like very narrow, like, this is how you experience everything, right? Like, in order for you to be good and make it to heaven, you have to not have sex until you're married. And like all these things you have to tick off, and you go to church every Sunday or whatever it might be. Like, when you remove that and you take a breath, all of a sudden you're like, damn. Like, I am
black and white TVs that went colorful.
Yes, exactly. Like, oh my goodness. Like, yeah, it's like putting on your glasses for the first time. You're like, oh, this is amazing. And I think like that's when life really begins, is when you can feel that like possibility. And it's scary. And you're like, oh my God. You know, like, my husband and I are at the point where like, we're like, there's so much possibility. We don't know where to begin. You know, like, and that comes from trust. Like, how are we going to get closer to God? I don't know. Is it here in New Hampshire? Is it someplace else? I don't know. Like, there's the possibilities are endless, but what feels right in my body? What's going to get me closer to feeling good all the time? Because yes, I want to feel pleasure all the time. Why wouldn't I? Right.
Yeah. That's what we're here for.
Yeah. And also, like, on the flip side of that, like, in order to feel that intense pleasure,
yeah,
you have to feel the intense pain at the same time in darkness. And I think as dark as you can go is as light and as bright and as pleasurable as you can go. So my life has not been rainbows and butterflies, and spirituality has not been wonderful. Like, I was broken and went through dark night of the soul. And, you know, Mama Gina explains it as like rupture. She's like, your entire life just ruptures. And some of us have rupture where it's like this moment, this thing that happens, like a spouse dies or a child dies, or, you know, something catastrophic happens and this, you're ruptured. And other of us go through like dark night of the soul, where it's like these small decisions we keep making and making and making that just, you look around and you're all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, this is awful. Right. Experiencing those things in whichever way they come to you allows you to feel the pleasure. And then once you experience that range, then you can dip in the dark and the light all the time. And that is magic. And that is spirituality, because if you can't experience that hell, you can't experience limitless love. Like, it is what it is, unfortunately.
Yeah. You definitely have to go through the play. I mentioned like pleasure. We're here for pleasure. We're here to find the pleasure. But in order, like you said, to get there, we have to go through painful portions of our time. We have to heal. In order to heal, we have to go through the pain. It sucks. It hurts. It's horrible at times, but
yeah,
that's how you get to the end. If you don't know pain, I don't think if you don't know pain, you're not going to know pleasure. If
everything's
like in the center, you know, you're never going to, you don't know. You can't experience that without going through both of them.
And it's this remembering, right? We're like dumped into the mess, the very human mess. And we have to remember our divinity. We have to remember our pleasure. Yeah. And some of us, it takes longer than others. Some of us can find it quicker. And it's okay. Everybody's journey is meant to be different. And if you don't get it right, you know, I use air quotes, this lifetime, well, guess what? You get to come back again and try it again. Joy. I've already decided this is my last time as a human. Like, I'm not coming back. Absolutely not.
Me too. I'm like, I won't. Okay. This is like keeping the same lessons in life. I'm like, all right. I'm going to learn this. We're going to get this right. So
I'm done.
Like, I'm not ready to go, like, to be done with like this life yet, because I've got more lessons I need.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to figure out. Man, sometimes things happen and I just look at my best friend and I'm like, I'm done. I'm not doing this shit again. Oh, well.
I totally feel that. Yeah. So as we're kind of wrapping up, for someone listening who feels disconnected from their intuition or pleasure, what would be a first step you'd recommend them take to reconnect to their divine self and embrace a life filled with joy and fulfillment? What's something they could really walk away with today and be like, I'm going to implement this immediately?
Ooh, this is a hard question.
There's so many.
Right? There's so many, and everybody's journey is so different, right? Like, some of us have to, okay, so let's see. One thing, it would be to find your yes and no.
Yeah.
To really like start understanding how you feel, your yes and your no, to solidify that. And to do that, I always tell people to go backwards in time, because it's way easier, you know, hindsight is 2020. So when were these moments where you had the intuitive hit and you didn't listen to it and shit hit the fan and fucked you over, right? Like, whew, those ones are often more easy to remember than the good ones. Sometimes we need help remembering these and going back in that belief bank. And okay, so there would, you know, I can't think of a time when I didn't truly listen to my intuition. I've always been a really intuitive person. So like going back when you made a decision that, you know, you took the job and it turned out bad. How did it feel? Like, you know, the moment when you knew it was going to be bad and you're like, fuck that. I'm going to do it anyway. And things went crazy, right? Like, I had this time when I didn't listen to my intuition. I knew there was something off with this woman and she ended up screwing me and still owes me money. And it was horrific. Like, I had to go to therapy to deal with this woman who was supposed to be like an equal partnership, right? Didn't listen to my intuition. I listened to my mind, right? So that would be, okay, a no in my body feels like this. And then you go back and talk about what does a yes feel like, right? Just like those examples I gave in the beginning, like what does a yes feel like in my body? If you can figure out those, then you can, like, those are the keys to the kingdom. They truly are, because then you can get on your path quicker, more clearly, and truly just start like eating up those yeses. Because when you start saying yes to the right things, that's when like you start manifesting the most amazing things, because the universe is like, oh, you're listening. She's listening.
Oh, she wants more.
Right? So I think really listening to your yes and your no, and there's so many ways to do that. You know, you can use a pendulum, you can use your body, you can go back in your belief bank, like whatever it is for you that's really important. And trusting it, then you don't go ask your best friend and your mom and your sister, hey, do you think I should take this job? No, you listen to that body of yours. You listen to that heart and that belly and all those things. That's the gold, right? And you begin trusting yourself and your intuition grows exponentially. So I would say start with a yes and then no.
Yeah, that's a great tip. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, your energy and your enthusiasm and your passion has been absolutely just amazing. I've enjoyed this conversation. I'm sure our listeners have too as well. All of Amariah's information will be in the show notes. If you want to reach out and contact her, sign up for any of her classes or courses and stuff, definitely reach out to her. Thanks again, Mariah.
Thanks for having me. Bye, guys.